Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 570. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Happy birthday to me.
Yes, it was your birthday this week.
And we totally remembered, and we were right.
Earl headed up the celebration. Like, there were dancing bears and crocodiles. It was. I was amazed.
Does it say Chris pulled out his dance moves that he's saving for Jeff's future wedding?
Yeah, I mean, he's got to practice that stripping somewhere, and this was the perfect venue.
So. When I broke my ankle that will not be healed until after Jeff's wedding.
That's what, he broke it on my birthday dancing. Oh. And I was just so disappointed that you didn't finish your dance. I'm sorry, man. You're really putting that effort in there. I was appreciating it.
You know, I cannot dance for Jeff's bachelor party. Sorry, Jeff.
I won't be dancing either.
That's not a fun
Jeff
wedding.
Jeff will be drunk.
Ugh. Another reason I don't want to do a wedding. Not like a dancing person, you know?
You gotta dance once, that's it.
Yeah, see? No.
You don't have to. Just go to the courthouse. You'll be fine.
True. Like, if you don't have a reception with all the goings on.
Working that angle.
Earl is here.
I have no birthday. I have no engagement. I have beer. So I will take that. It's not going to cause me any headaches. You know what?
It might cause you some headaches.
Well, I always said the day that one beer beats me up is the day I'm going to start retiring. So I am good with just... Okay, that's not true. I've also had... gin and whiskey, but
also hurt you, Earl.
This is my first beer, so the rest of them don't count or resets. That's how the clock works.
Fair enough. Jeff is here.
Yay!
Even on his week of engagement, he has nothing.
Yeah,
that's very disappointing, Jeff.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I'm in an eternal state of somewhere between drunk and sober this week. So,
it's a vacation week for you, right?
Yeah. From any other week,
it's just a little. The volume turned up a little bit, you know.
And it's constant.
And you could drink during the day.
Yeah, he doesn't have to sober up to go to work. So,
pretty cool. I would probably do it until like I die if you gave me the chance. It would take like 2 months, but I would do it.
All right. Earl, what are you drinking tonight? Anything interesting?
It is very funky. It is the brewery, the Fjotch Cucumber. It's a for their age Berlin style wheat ale with cucumber. It has a tartness to it, but it also has a sweetness. I mean, I assume it's the cucumbers bringing out the flavor. It's a very fascinating taste.
Cucumbers tart?
No, that's what I'm curious about. Yeah. I'm curious what's... I mean the cucumbers I think is bringing out the sweetness.
Oh, yes, okay.
I'm trying to figure out what's tart about it. I was going to also say it's interesting because this is... You don't often see this, but this is handy. It recommends that you serve this beer at 45 degrees Fahrenheit, which is, basically just taking it out of the fridge for like half an hour beforehand or something like that. Mm-hmm. So before it hits room temperature, but not fridge cold. I'm just trying to really figure out what is making this so tart. It's a never kettled soured, so it has something to it, but. Yeah, I have no idea. It's interesting. It's not bad. It's just something I've not had before.
Great. Tony, are you drinking anything interesting tonight? You did have like a 12-pack of new drinks last night. So.
Well, right, but a lot of those were like 4-ounce tasters. So I'm pretty sure if I go back to the last night and actually count, probably ended up being like 5 beers total. Even though like I got in like 9 different check-ins. But right now I'm drinking a Hobo Imperial Stout with Vanilla Bean from Caboose Brewing.
Let's sail right past that five beers tonight. Let's do this.
I don't think that's
going to happen. I mean, maybe next week. I have to be awake
at 6:15. I'll be...
Shit, I was awake at like 6:15 last night, but...
You're on vacation.
Yeah, Jeff was like, playing Halo at 6:15 in the morning.
That doesn't say you weren't...
Playing Halo, playing Forza.
So you weren't working.
I was up for a few minutes, and then
I think I woke up around 7 or so, and there was a message from you in the group chat from like 2 hours before. It's like
I'm still playing Halo.
5 in the morning. Jesus.
My God, a lot of Halo.
Jeff, you drink anything? Tonight.
Drinking everything. But I'm drinking a good old anti-hero right now. Song gets praises many times.
Wait, anti-hero? Never heard of it. tell me about it, Jeff. Sing it.
No, I'm all out of words.
You have no more mirth left.
Yeah.
You're mirthless.
And I am drinking a fruited sour ale from Hoosier Brewing Company called Quadberry. And, it is like the most, it does not look like a beer. Let's put it that way. Like this looks like it's very dark, like, but not like dark. Like it's just like milky kind of like almost like a milkshake, or when you let like one of those, what the hell, the blending things, like a smoothie. It looks like a smoothie. And it tastes like one too. It's very,
I always love pouring out a beer and it's like purple or something.
This is not a natural beer color.
I mean, I don't mind it. I was at a bar on Saturday and they had like this really kind of, not crimson, but like a milky red drink. And I was just like, I'm so fascinated by it. But I felt so awkward walking up to people and being like, what are you drinking? But I want to go back to that bar and find out what it is. I'm sure
I totally did that when we were at the bar together, Earl. Like I saw somebody drinking like a red something that was red. I'm like, I gotta get that.
Yes. And then sometimes because like your brain is just like, what is that flavor? Because like you can kind of, like after a while you can kind of tell like a dark really dark chocolatey ones like a stout or a porter.
Yeah.
Like you know like idle ones like lagers and ales and like the meat like the old orangey ones tend to be like IPAs. But like if it's a really funky color, and I mean like not like you know St. Patty's Day we're gonna dye it green, but like a really funky like this is infused with like cherries or blackberries or something like that. It does catch my eyes. I would also say just to kind of give a heads up, I guess. I went to work today, and I went on a beer run because it was a lovely day, and I got some Christmas ales to try out for next month. So. Hopefully they taste good. Nice. I mean, I assume that most of them are just like winter ales, but they're Christmassy in name. So
I have a beer advent calendar.
I have one too, but that won't be on the podcast because I think only like two of them will overlap.
Is that a like basically it's like a case of beer and you open like up right. on the day? Like...
Right. So basically, well, I did it before, and like each day there'd be like a. The beer would be like gift wrapped, so you couldn't tell what it was, and have like a number on the top. And you just, all right, December 1st, open up that one, let it fly.
Okay, mine is similar but different. Mine's, I mean, it's not gift wrapped, but it is like in a box, and it's like 1 through 12, and you poke out like one, you know, the first. I forget how it goes because I think you're supposed to count down. I think so. You're supposed to do like 12 first, and then like one is like the day before Christmas.
Sure.
Like but I don't know, so I just did it. I might get two this year because I'm like, hey, I mean, I might as well try to go for the entire month of December. but yeah, I have that. I was actually because I ordered it back in September because actually I ordered it and it didn't come until like the final week of November. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna order it early and hope that it, you know, like get in before. It came like the end of October, so it's just been sitting on a windowsill. Because I'm like, I'm not putting this entire thing in the fridge, and I can't take them out. So I'm like, the window's open. It's kind of in chilly, so I'm hoping it's keeping it cool. or that they pick beers that don't need to be refrigerated for 2 months. It happens sometimes.
You're gonna open it up. You're gonna find a bunch of pilsners and wheat ales, and it's all gonna be skunky.
Well, I hope that doesn't happen.
So yes,
that would be gross.
I mean, I will still drink it because it is not cheap. It's not. I mean, for it, it's not bad. I think it's like $80 total with shipping. And it, again, like, I mean, as long as it's not like, yes, as long as it's not a like Coors and Heineken and stuff like that,
right,
I will be fine. But actually, it was a really good mixture of different beers and different locations. I mean, a lot of them were from Florida, but
now I'm just thinking of you guys getting like one of these beer advent calendars and like you opening it up and it's like Rolling Rock. Like,
oh my god, I would kill someone. Horse
Light. Just
like... Then we find out that Jeff is packing them.
Jeff and Walt.
And 6 Miller Lights.
Walt throws some Coronas in for you. This was not worth $80. All right. Got a couple games to talk about and one big piece of news. One big game kind of shadow dropped Monday. We'll get to that in a minute. But Tony, you've been playing Kill It With Fire, or your kids have at least, because I see that you have achievements.
Lots of Kill It With Fire. So,
I didn't know if you were talking about that or the Jurassic Park game again.
So we'll go with Kill It With Fire because it's hilarious. So the game is the premise is pretty simple. So there are like spiders in each level, and you need to kill them. The levels are kind of like freeform. You can do whatever you want, find stuff in the level, and you find all these weapons to kill spiders with. And they can be as inane as a clipboard or like a frying pan or like as, you know, brutal as like an RPG or a Molotov cocktail. You can walk around it like with a flamethrower and, you know, light the entire room on fire to kill the spiders. And there are like various different kinds of spiders, and some of them, like, there's zombie spiders, like the spider's dead and comes back to life. You need to kill it again. It's an interesting concept. My son, who is a, he has autism spectrum disorder, and he's, like, very bug phobic.
Ooh,
he's finding this game to be super therapeutic.
Okay. I was like, that. This could be terrifying for him, too.
Because he's in there, he's like, at the end of the game, you literally like set off a nuclear bomb to kill all the spiders. it's fun. It's really is fun. There's a lot of like puzzle solving. It's like kill spiders with like each level will have like a puzzle attached. Like kill 10 spiders with a revolver in 60 seconds, or like kill 20 spiders with 10 different weapons in 60 seconds or whatever. So he's having a lot of fun like getting through and like solving those kind of puzzles. I mean, the game itself is not hard. Like there's no timer, so you can like walk around and figure out where all the spiders are and kill them.
And it gives you a tracker too.
Yeah, there's a little tracker you can pull out at any time, which will tell you where the spiders are. Some of the spiders are invisible. Some of them are radioactive. Like they have different like spider abilities. They can't kill you though, so like some of the spiders can shoot like webs into your face so you can't see, and then the spider will try to run away. But it is a very, very one-sided game. You're killing spiders, they ain't killing you. So, you know, if you don't like spiders, this is probably the perfect game for you, because it's an excellent opportunity to kill them without mercy, and in incredibly, incredibly violent and horrific ways. You know, with propane tanks exploding, or I don't know, a shotgun.
Yeah, it's quite absurd.
It is.
I've been enjoying. Like I'll play like a level here or there when I need to extend an achievement streak. It's been fun. It's not like a great looking game, but it just has like a stupid charm to it.
Yeah, you're like free on Game Pass, a game where you can just cause mayhem for a little while. It kind of scratches the same itch as that Untitled Goose Game or like
one. Yeah. And get like I like that, like basically gives you a checklist of like, hey, here's what you should do, and if you do these, then you'll like unlock like a door, which will give you access to like cooler stuff to kill them with.
And there's some mild puzzle solving. Like there's the one door that you can open if you find the laptop and like can figure out the color coding of the things on the. Of the things, the switches you're supposed to pull the ball in the right order. Like there's very, very mild puzzle solving. Though. Nothing you can't figure out.
Yep. Yeah, it's on Game Pass. So if you're looking for something like fun, but not like super deep, like just something to go like have a good time. You know, 15, 20 minutes for a level. It's a good time. $8 and $8. Yeah.
EDF.
Exactly, except they don't fight back here.
Yeah.
They just die.
There's one that like glows, and if you hit it, it glows more, and then it explodes, blows up other spiders near it.
But not you. You're invincible.
Yeah, it's absurd. It can blow up an entire gas station, and you still like
you're
walk
like
out of it.
Standing next to this propane tank, and you just, it explodes. You're like, oh, okay, that happened.
It's good stuff. All right, so Halo Infinite, heavily rumored last week that it will be dropping during the 20th anniversary stream, which really was the only news that came out of the 20th anniversary stream. It was mostly just a look back at the history of Xbox. I guess they did announce, what, the final 70 games hitting backwards compatibility too.
Right. They're like, we can't do anymore because the licensing issues are too much for anything that's left.
Which makes sense to a point, yeah. Like, for some of it. There are some games I wish they had been able to get, but it's like, either those developers are now gone, which probably makes licensing really hard, or they have, like, music that was never intended to be moved forward 20 years. But yeah, Halo Infinite dropped at the end of that. Well, the multiplayer did. The
game is
free to play multiplayer. Yeah. Yeah. The campaign comes out December 8th. Halo Infinite multiplayer dropped on Monday. It took a little while for it to actually kind of roll out, but it's up, it's running, and Jeff and Earl and myself have played a bunch of it. I've talked about Halo Infinite previously, so Jeff, Earl, what do you guys think?
Good. Polished. Like, you know, Rare game coming out, actually not even out yet, and it seems to work. Looks really good.
It's still in beta, right?
It is still in beta.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, you know, it's a beta. Just all your progress carries over and nothing will change.
And it's the same file. Yeah,
it's just an excuse. It's like, oh, we found this thing that we need to fix.
I mean, it's really, it's probably just really a way not to stuff their retail partners.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess technically speaking, the campaign's out, so. But yeah, to Jeff's
they're
point.
They're taking money, though, for it. Like, you can buy a battle pass.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a beta battle pass. I'm sure it will change once the... I mean, to be fair, it's already changed.
Already changed, yep.
But yeah, I mean, we've played through some of the Halo games recently. I already did. I played through 1, 2, Reach so far, and 5. And, I mean, it's just a reminder that, like, it's honestly probably still one of the best villain shooters on the market. Like, everybody else kind of wants to be Call of Duty, which is their prerogative. And I mean, in some ways, this tries to be too, but it just feels so nice. Like, almost every gun, I'm not going to say feels unique. You can kind of cater it to your playstyle, because there are certain guns that are clearly much heavier or, you know, need a lot of, lead that you can deal with. And then there's, the pistol, which has, always been the staple of the franchise. Which, if you get five really good shots, you are going to kill an opponent at medium range or close range. But if you miss one or two, you're kind of screwed. The assault rifle is just, whatever. They're fine for, just trying to get the kill over with. But I never care for them. They're not super accurate. I just feel like they're always all over the place when you're shooting. The game looks really good. Some good maps. I think my biggest pet peeve outside of the progression system, which we'll get to in a second, is the, and I think we all have this pet peeve, is that there's really no way to pick a player. So you pick either big team or, what is the other one?
Multiplayer? Play.
Quick play.
Quick play.
Yeah, and it's or, just like, or the bots.
Yeah, and it's just like, yeah, we're going to pick a mode for you and you're going to have fun or else.
You can see the list of games. Yep. You can't do anything with it. You
can't do anything with it.
This is why it's still in beta. This is the beta portion.
They're going to, they've got to fix that. But it's people have just been bitching about it. So
you guys haven't played Griff Ball yet. Is that what's happened? You're just missing.
Well, yeah, there's no Griff Ball yet. That's just not there. They did this with Halo 5 too, where in the first couple weeks it was just kind of a quick play hopper. I think that's just to kind of get everybody together.
It's really to build. It's actually really smart. Is that you build up an audience because you're not waiting, 3 hours to find a Griff Ball game. You're just like, okay.
I think that this thing, there'd be enough people going on it. I don't know.
It does allow them to go hey, here's Strongholds, here's Oddball, here's Capture the Flag,
play these games you don't know or want to play.
Or never would them. Because most people are going to go I immediately with Call of Duty, I cleared off eight of the modes. And I do that with Halo when I have the option, right? It's I make a playlist of it's Slayer and SWAT for me. And sometimes Fiesta, because it's crazy. I don't generally like to play objective modes with randoms people, but it's forcing me to do that, which is, to Jeff's point, people aren't quite happy about that, but it'll clear up. They will add a playlist option for you to customize. I think that's Earl. I'm with you. That's my biggest issue with the game currently.
Yeah. For the most part, there's a lot of modes that I do enjoy, but there's some where it comes up and God damn it. I think I'm not a huge fan of Total Control. And it actually only gets worse because the first initial choke points are kind of evenly distributed. One on your side, one on their side, one in the middle. Everything else is broken as hell. So everything beyond the first point is just
Yeah, well, at one point we had three in close proximity to us, which allowed us to get a 2-0 lead. And then the next three placements were all on their side of the map.
Yeah. Yes. And it's not even the beginning of the game where you all kind of start, you're dying at that point. So people are spawning closer to the point, or people are on the other side of the map, and you don't necessarily know where to go. It's super annoying. The first time I played it, I didn't realize, when they say total control, it's total. You have to have all 3 points for a point. So we played 15 minutes and we scored 1 point in the last 2 minutes. And that was it. Okay, we're just going to play deep. And I think aside from that 3-2 loss we had, I think almost everything else we've done has been 1 or 2 points. It's not been that many of those where it finishes in the time. But yeah, it it happened to us today, actually, right before I hopped on this podcast. We were playing one. We were down 1-0, and it was 5 minutes left. The next set of points spawned near us. We captured those no problem, 1-1. The next set of points spawns 2 on our side. We get those, and we just have to fight for the third one, 2-1. I'm just 90 seconds left. I'm just going to play defense on 1 point because they need to capture all three.
Yep.
So there's no, we're ahead. There's no use for us running around trying to get.
And the problem with, and this is going to be a problem regardless, because I think Total Control is like what, 12 versus 12, so it's big team battle match.
Yeah.
Like eight of the people will run off to the, oh, they're touching A. Like, no, there's 90 seconds left. If we just hold B, we're good. They all run off to A. And then like seven people roll up on B and overrun us, and then they win. It's like, what are you people doing?
Yeah, and I mean, this is not a pet peeve of this game. This is a pet peeve of Halo in general.
Yeah,
randos in any objective face match is just really not worth it, because it's like people like we like again that same round. Like the first one was a choke point, and the other team was just basically holding 2 points. And they would kill us. They were not advanced, and they were just killing us. Eventually, like, they broke through. But the rest of it is, like, once you break that strategy, everybody's, like, they're not in one place to, like, have choke points anymore. And it's, like, all over the place, and they're not coordinated. Again, in our advantage, but it's, like, same thing. We say the capture the flag one. I'm in a Warthog with my friend. Somebody else is in a Warthog ahead of us. We're like, okay, we're going to go behind them. They're going to break up. They're going to either draw attention or we'll draw the fire. They drive off and do their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know, the point is to capture the flag. So part of that is going near said flag to grab.
Wait, what? The flag? Huh?
Yeah, so it's stuff like that. Where it's super annoying, but again, it's not the game's fault. Like, this is something that has happened in every Halo. I'm sure it's not even
every
Halo.
Every base mode in every multiplayer.
It's every shooter. Like, the same thing happens in Call of Duty, in Battlefield. Like, it's horrible in Battlefield because like people are just like they feel like they're just playing team deathmatch. It's like,
yeah,
you realize Battlefield is almost 100% objective based.
And I'm sure some of them.
Funny. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was gonna say some people do. I know people used to do it in Halo 3 and Reach to run up their kill death ratio.
Yeah.
Because it's like, yeah, you have 30 kills, like 2 deaths, no time on the point, no fast capture. I'm like, you weren't playing the same game, were you?
But it's funny though, if you end up with like an actual squad in a Battlefield match. Like, you're just 4 guys, but if you guys are actually focused on trying to win the match, you'll win almost every time.
Yeah, because almost everybody else is a random, so they're not. I hate it when you're playing in objective mode and like it's a capture the flag or what's this one called, strongholds, which is basically domination.
Yeah, and then total control.
Yeah, and it's like you see the at the end you check the scoreboard and there's like a dude that's like 47-7, but with no caps. Okay, cool. You're super helpful. Thank you.
He's clearing the board for you.
Yeah. Except he's nowhere near us.
Yes, I was gonna say
he's killing the guy who's AFK over and over.
That's what I love. Yeah. Like right before we started tonight, I'm in a capture the flag match. I get the flag. I run all the way across the map and get to my base. I'm like, I haven't seen any of my guys the whole time. I'm like, is someone like maybe want to escort me in case there's some trouble? Like, exactly. No, nothing. And nope, I get to the other side, and then of course they got our flag too. So let them. Someone just stuck in the base and got me. I'm like, fucking goddamn it.
Thing. It's like, okay, either me, like, okay, if you see somebody with a flag, what I usually do is, like, grab a vehicle and try to meet them. And if not, like, stay and protect our flag. You can't score up it's that out.
One of the above, man, like.
No, I like, I'm
not that I can talk, I'm terrible at this game, but.
But no, but.
I at least try to do the objective.
But I was going to say, the thing is, you could be bad at the shooting if you're doing the objective. That, like, there are times where I don't get a ton of kills because I'm focused on just trying to get the flag or capture a point.
Yeah.
Like, I played a game yesterday. I had, like, 10 captures on zones. I had 8 kills. I'm like, there's a goal here, and I'm focused on that. I'm gonna defend myself, but I'm not going to go out of the circle to, like, shoot people. I'm here, capture this, let's get some points on the board.
Well, core mechanics, I think it's very good.
Yeah.
Like it's just fun. I think the maps are good, as Earl said. the big team battle map. It, the only issue I do have with it is that there's three big team battle maps. They all feel exactly the same because they're all the same biome.
I played on two back to back today, and it took me a long time to realize it was not the same map again.
Yeah, that makes it hard to learn because the maps are huge too. Those big team battle maps are massive. It's like you're trying to learn where you need to position yourself and what the best routes are, and like it's been really tough. Like the game's only been out for 4 days, so. We'll get there. It's just I wish there was a little more definition between the two, where maybe like a snow map or a desert map, but it's like this nice, beautiful looking mountain map.
We don't have. Do we have all the maps, or is it?
Well, I mean, I don't. I assume not.
Well, there's 10 maps, and there'll be 10 maps at launch. There are more maps coming, but this is it for what we're going to have. Wow. Like probably through the first season.
But again, I think, it's one of those things where it's like it's, the map is more like the modes and stuff. Like once we start getting stuff like Griff Ball or Fiesta or, shoddy snipers and stuff like that. Because that's more like intimate knowledge of the map. I was gonna say the other thing. I think Chris pointed this out too. Oh, maybe it might have been Walt. They give you a bunch of achievements for anything at the start of the game.
Yes.
You change your partner's parents, you get an achievement. You change your weapons, you get an achievement.
Ooh, you change your weapons. Tinkered with all that stuff because I think Chris said that in the chat. I was like getting 5 points or whatever it was. They weren't big achievements.
No. There's a lot of achievements because it's split between this single player too. I have gotten two that I'm really proud of. One is the basically assassinate somebody while they're scoped in from behind. I got that by accident because I was using the grapple hook, which we'll get to in a second, I guess. I have not mastered how to grapple and actually melee people. But I grappled him and I ended up behind him. I hit him anyhow and killed him. So I was really proud of that moment. And then I think the other one is that he's getting like 2,000 points in a multiplayer game or something like that, which is just a bunch of and I ended up getting that like my second game because like there are games like I'm really good at it, and then there's games where I'm like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't be around people. We all have those games. We can't get out the box.
It just like that at any multiplayer shooter, right? Like you're gonna have like really good games. You're like, I'm really good at this, and then you're gonna come back to Earth with like a 3-11 match. It's like, wow, I am terrible. It's just because the matchmaking is currently all over the place. They don't have enough data on us, and then if you're playing in a party, it's trying to match you with other people similar to your party, and it's going to be a little wild for a bit.
Yes, it's just really funny to see how it waffles sometimes. But yes, it is very fascinating to see. And the other thing I was going to say, and I don't know if other Halo games did this, like is I think that your kill death ratio also includes your assist.
Count towards the kill.
It's
I don't know
kind
if they count
like,
the same, but they count towards it.
They're like half, I think. Like two assist counts for a kill, I believe.
I might actually have a good KD ratio finally.
Like when you look at the point totals, like I think it's 100 for a kill and 50 for an assist. So that makes sense. Your KD if like. It's like I think I ended up one of the matches I played with Earl and Walt. I only had like 5 kills or something like that, but I had a positive, and I had like 10 or so deaths, but I had a positive KD because I had a bunch of assists. So
interesting.
I mean, that's a great choice because I feel like it kind of helps you with like the kill thievery stuff and like
Yeah.
You don't feel like bad. How many times do you get into it with someone one-on-one and like they just barely get you and then someone rolls in and gets your fucking...
Yeah, it's the final
should have been yours. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, I mean, it's one of those things, and we'll get to the company, the parent company, but Overwatch, I always used to enjoy that because like, it will also give you, like, it knew that, like, not every cast is equal, so it would give you a point. Like, you know, you'd, like, you have created games where it's, like, a person who healed a bunch of people really quickly, or, like, you know, like, somehow defended a point with something. And I'm like, yeah, I like that, like, those are great, but they're not the OE thing. And I think sometimes that encouragement is what leads to those modes where people are playing an objective-based game and not doing the objective is because they want that positive kill-death ratio.
And I think Call of Duty also switched to include assists.
I mean, I want to have like good performance, obviously, but like ultimately, like, what really does it matter what your KD ratio is? Like,
doesn't
it you doesn't. Know what I mean? It's like play the game, man. Like, I don't know.
I'm sure though that like people looking at it, like if they are closer to a one as opposed to like -2 or -3, like they probably feel a little bit better. Like,
I mean, yeah, oh, obviously, I'm not terrible. I want to be good at the game,
right?
But if you're fucking around while you know what I mean, like if you're chasing that while you're supposed to be doing an objective, that is like,
oh for sure,
you're not good at the game. Then like you're fucking idiot. What are you doing? I don't know. Yep. I can't really judge anybody, but at least I'm trying to do the thing that we're trying to be doing. So,
I guess that the one thing we really haven't talked about. You talked about the grapple hook for a brief second there, Earl. Anybody else have any comments on that? Jeff said he couldn't. You hadn't seen it in a match, so
yeah. Then the next time I played, like I was getting it, and I'm a pro grappling hook person. Should always be grappling hooks and everything, but I do wish like you could attach it to more surfaces. It seems like it only wants to attach to the ledges. Am I like wrong on this? Because like if I try to hit a wall above a ledge, it's like no, that doesn't count. Like all right.
I mean, it only has a certain range on it, so it might. I don't know if.
I mean, I would be hitting walls and just bounce back. Like,
yeah, weird. I think it's so place you can go. It's essentially pulling you forward. It's not necessarily It's not gonna pull you above to drop down. I think.
I think that's it. Because like you can attach it to like cars and stuff. Like
you can attach it to vehicles.
Yeah.
You can grab the flag with it and pull the flag to you.
You should be able to fucking like pull off the ceiling and just everyone's flying around the whole match. It'd be amazing.
There, you'll see that once people start opening up in the custom modes, like they'll adjust it so that everyone has a grapple hook, it never runs out because that's the big thing with it is like you pick it up. I think it only has 3 charges. Which makes sense. Like you want it to be even, so you don't want like a sniper picking it up and then having like being able to Spider-Man himself around the map and kill everybody. You want it to be a little bit even.
A custom game just filled with air battles sounds pretty fucking sweet.
I think once Forge hits, there'll be some like really cool maps and some really cool modes that people create. And then there's the progression system.
Is there a progression system? I kind of see a debate about this.
Oh, there is a progression system. It's just like, do you progress in it?
Don't say that's the debate.
I got leveled up once. And I've played it at least a few hours. Like, I don't know.
Okay. Before we get to the problem with the progression, I will just say. It is a very confusing system, even though on paper it's a very simple system. Because, I guess because I'm so accustomed to Fortnite battle pass and challenge system, it's like you have a challenge, you complete that challenge, that challenge is marked off. You can get new challenges. You can change them, but it's marked off. Where this one is, if you complete a challenge, you get a new challenge. And you complete the first wave, and you get a... So it's like, there are levels to these weekly challenges. Which, yes. Again, not a big deal, but it because, like, in order, I mean, it's getting, we'll talk about it really quick in the news, but, like, you get, you're supposed to complete the weekly challenges to get, like, a special single or whatever this week. But it's like, okay, I'm like, okay, there's four challenges, I got this. Nope, okay, I finished those four. Here's, like, four new ones. I'm like, wait, what? Okay, let me get rid of some of these. Nope, here's some more. I'm like, when does this end? How do I know when I finish all my challenges for the week?
So there is a way to look at the upcoming challenges, and as you're completing them, that list will get shorter. So you will know, but it doesn't tell you at that first glance, which is stupid. Like, it should just be like, all right, you've completed 3 out of 15 challenges for the week. Because that's how every other thing does it. Like, you've done this, and you're working towards this. There's no, like, meter saying you're 20% towards getting the visor for the week or whatever. It's just really weird. Like, some just dumb design choices that don't explain things to you.
Yes. So they were like, you know what? We hear you. We understand. We're going to fix it. And they fixed it by going backwards. Because you used to get 100 points for every, not every match, but you have like levels of matches played in each one. First level is one match. Second level, I think, is two matches. And then third level is two matches. And it goes, essentially, you go up for a while. And then it gets to the point where you have to win, like, I think total, when he says it's like 33 matches. Before the new system breaks even. Because the new system not gives you 50 points for every match. But based off the old system, for example, your first match would give you 100. Now you need to pay two matches to equal that. Then the next one would have given you 100. So you have to pay four matches to equal that. And again, it does even out eventually, but it takes time.
Yeah, and for people that are like, well, we didn't want to like grind a whole lot. Like, it should have just been... Yeah, and I don't know. For me, I think it would have been better to go, all right, like, your first daily challenge is worth 100, your second is worth 100, your third is worth 100, and then everything else after that is worth 50 points. Like, just like, it just becomes a recurring, you get 50 points per match or whatever. Instead, they just, I don't know, like, they broke the one constant progression that you get. But they did make the weeklies easier, supposedly.
Except they reset the challenges. So I was like so close to getting some of them, and it's like, nope, here's a new set of them. I'm like, oh.
Yep.
But again, I guess the flip side of that is that everybody's getting this week's ultimate, I think is what it's called. If you sign in after the 23rd, so, you know, that's positive. I think it's the 23rd to the 29th, so you have, like, a week or so to do that.
Yep.
And, yeah, and it's one of those things where, again, I look at it, and the progression is one thing, but I'm also like, I don't really care about the Battle Pass. Like, I bought it, but it's not, like, it's just, like, different armor pieces, which I guess would be cool in the long term, but I'm like... I kind of said, like, I'm going to get accustomed to seeing my Spartan who I don't see in the game. I mean, at least with Fortnite, it's like you have different skins and stuff, and it's a third-person game. So it's like, yeah, I get the animation at the beginning and end, but I'm like, outside of that, I'm paying 15 minutes where I just see my arms and the gun I'm holding. So everything else is just really cosmetics.
Can you customize your arms?
Yeah.
You can add prosthetics.
So do your arms look different in the game?
I have no idea. Like, again, it's like they can, but it's like I think it's something I'm not paying attention to because I'm not focused on what my hands look like. It's gonna be novel the first two times if I change it, and it's like it's hands.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think, like, to me, it's more like the gun customization. Like, that's what I want to pick up. Like, give me like different colors to make my guns. When I pick up an assault rifle, it's red or purple or whatever. Just stupid, but I mean, that's the stuff you visibly see. Everybody else is seeing your cool looking Spartan that looks like Captain America, because everybody's wearing that damn armor color currently.
Yes.
But like, you don't see it, so.
Oh God. And I mean, that's a minor pet peeve, but crap. I hate that. I mean, I've kind of gotten accustomed to it now. But like in the old Halo games, it used to be like, if you're on a red team, everybody's red. If you're on a blue team, everybody's blue. Now it's like you have your custom armor, so everybody's their own colors. You just kind of have like a highlight over you. Like if you're red, you have like red glow, and if you're blue, you have a blue glow. And I did not realize that at first. I'm just like, wait, oh, is this person on my team? No, I'm gonna shoot. You kind of get used to it. Either that, or I just see the red dots on my radar.
I'm really glad to know that before I play. That's
the overlay over the character, like, kind of makes whatever color your actual armor is pointless, because all you're seeing is the red highlight or the blue highlight. Like,
oh no, I mostly see the armor color because
really, it took me a while to. I did the same thing as you, but kind of in reverse. I was like, wait. Doesn't everybody pick their like own armor? And then I was like, oh, it's just a thing that's like, you know.
But there is in multiplayer, at least there's no friendly fire, so you won't be hurting your own team, Tony.
Damn it.
Which does suck, because the only way for me to kill Walt is by putting grenades in the trunk of our car.
That's true. I mean, you could still drive him off a cliff or something.
Could. Somebody did that to me. Yesterday, first he flipped the Warthog twice and then yelled at us because he was a terrible driver, and then he drove us right off the mat. You're an excellent teammate, buddy. That's Halo. So Jeff, you said you only leveled up once.
Me?
In the battle pass, you've only leveled up once,
I believe. I don't know. It's maybe, yeah, I think. Only that I recall once.
Mm.
Remember, not good. So I guess that doesn't matter, though, does it?
No, I mean, like, your weeklies kind of rely on you doing stuff, but just playing the game, you should have leveled up a little bit more than that. But also, I think to Earl's point, like, the Battle Pass is a little disappointing. In that, even though it's like I like the cosmetics, I want to like get like cool helmet for my guy and cool looking visor and stuff, but half of them are like challenge swaps.
Yeah,
it's like 100 levels, and half of them are challenge swaps. Also, that's if you don't buy the battle pass, that's all you get is the challenge swaps, which are pointless for you because you're not getting any of this stuff anyway, so why would you? What would you care about swapping the challenges?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like they did not know how to fill out this battle pass, and because I was also surprised to learn that there's no
currency.
Yeah, like I'm so accustomed to like Apex and Fortnite, you buy the battle pass, you tend to earn enough currency that you buy the next battle pass without even thinking about it, and that's part of how they keep you in the loop. You can also throw that currency towards skins, but it means at some point you're either going to buy skins and need to get money to get the battle pass. You're going to buy the battle pass and find money to get skins. I was just surprised. I went through, I'm like, oh, maybe the currency. Wait, no, that's not currency. That's a swap. That's an XP boost. And again, like the fact that they put an XP boost in the battle pass tells me that they also understood it was going to be a grind.
Oh, yeah. And also, they fixed the XP boost a little bit, so they were only for a half an hour. And if you're playing big team battle, basically that's worthless.
That's two games.
Yeah, because big team battles are long. Yeah, you could end up with a big team battle match that goes for a whole half hour. So, and if you're on like your first challenge of the day, so you're gonna get like what 100 points now? Like that's terrible.
Like one of the things on the battle is you get a different color for your AI companion, and I'm like, I don't even know when I see my AI companion.
So when you capture a point in strongholds, it's the little jelly icon in the middle.
Oh, okay. But again, I feel like I'm not paying attention to that. Mm-hmm. Like, I have, like, an orange computer-looking thing, and I'm like, okay.
I think, like, for me, like, it's more, I want to more customize the voice of the, because the, your companion's constantly talking to
you. Which I actually do like, because it's a way to kind of, like, alleviate, like, needing voice chat, where it's like, okay, somebody's on me, I'm capturing a point, backup. So you kind of get some general, hey, granted, so many people are talking, you don't necessarily know where it's coming from, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
But I do like that it's some sense of communication.
With those automated, like, text things that'll pop up.
Well, no, people will talk to the AI. Your companions will also just randomly talk to you.
Wait, what? Like,
your AI will like give you information or like mine like gives like stupid quips like, that was a great shot.
Yeah.
Do they say things that are actually useful?
Sometimes.
I mean, sometimes they will tell you, like, you know, like, they will tell you that if somebody's in danger.
They're below us or something. Something like that. Yeah.
You know, teammate has eyes on the flag carrier.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Kind of have an idea of what's going on. But again, in the general scheme of it, it's a lot is going on, so you may not be paying attention as much to that, but it is handy sometimes. It's
could
like
apply, it could apply to what you're looking at or what, you know.
I don't know. And
it's kind of cool, just, I think.
Sometimes, like, one of them that they usually tell you with the special weapons is like, oh, you're running low on ammo, so it'll give you a heads up if you got, like, one kippy up or something like that.
Which is nice, because, like, I
don't pay attention.
Yeah, and there's, like, the skewer that, like, I don't know how many you get when you pick up the... It's basically like a harpoon. I don't know how many you get in that. I haven't used it enough. But I fired off like 4 shots and like she like your ammo is running dangerously low. Okay, I know I'm almost out of this, so I need to like find a new weapon or something. So it is... I guess there is like useful... It's not always like sarcastic quips and stuff. Jeff, I think the ones where you're hearing like, oh, they're below us, that is people pinging. You can have your Spartan actually update, like give out a verbal update. I didn't know this. Walt actually pointed it out that like you can ping stuff.
Yeah, it's one of the confusing things going back and forth between this and Fortnite. It's because I think on Fortnite it is left on the D-pad and Halo, it's up on the D-pad.
Yeah, it's up.
And yeah, so it's one of those things that.
Yeah, is that the thing where like it'll tell you on some of the screens like your marker could help your teammates or something, and like I'm like, well, I have no idea what button I'm supposed to press to do this.
And it's evidently not in like the what's it like the training area or whatever. Like it's not in there. It
doesn't tell you. I just was like,
right, nobody did. There is an achievement for going into the training area. But,
I should do it, I guess.
But yeah, that piece isn't in there. That's kind of an important piece to know, like, how can I update my teammates on what's going on in the world around here? Oh, yeah. Halo.
It's good, man. Like, you know, it's funny. It's already kind of forgotten, at least kind of forgotten by me till I thought about it. Like, you know, this is a game that's had such troubled development. Like, there was part of me that was like, I don't know how it's going to be. Like, I was not getting too excited for this. But you know what I've played with the multiplayer, it's very good. Like I kind of lean a little more like just playing through the campaign once, but I have like a lot more confidence that that's going to be good now. Maybe not necessarily. I didn't like Five's campaign, but
I'm very interested in what this campaign is going to be.
Yeah.
Just because what they showed of it looks like. It almost looks like it's like Far Cry.
I think it could be neat. I don't know. Yeah.
And the achievements are in that they're already attached to the game. It's like you'll unlock some of that equipment that you you use in multiplayer, you'll unlock. You unlock that as you go along in the game. You'll get them at certain points. Master Chief will pick up that equipment. So.
Yeah, hell yeah.
All right. Well, that's Halo. Tony, you will play at some point.
I will. It's been a long week of birthday celebrations.
And I mean, I don't think it's going anywhere. It's free to play.
I have it downloaded.
Yeah,
should be in for next week, hopefully.
We do need to play some more Back 4 Blood at some point, but.
I mean, I guess.
Sure. I mean, I'm fine. You guys are like, we're done. Like,
no, I mean, I would pay to
go. Like, I'll play Halo.
I mean, Walt and I are near the end of Act 2, I think.
They do get shorter, right? Like, that first act is very long.
It's super long. But yes, it does get shorter, but it also gets much, much harder.
Okay, even just with you two.
Yes. We're now having levels that we're having trouble finishing.
Earl, did you put it in or into the group chat that they're making that game easier? Maybe I did that.
They are. I mean, we will see.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but like they acknowledge that it might be too hard. All right, Jeff, you've been playing a lot of GTA 3.
A lot of GTA 3, a lot of Forza.
That's
the other things. A lot of everything.
Any more to say on GTA 3? I mean, like, you're almost through the game now, so.
You know, I think a lot of things that we talked about last week stand. I think the deeper you get into GTA 3, the more the flaws in, like, the core gameplay. Like, the longer they try to make the missions, and the more challenging they try to make the missions, it becomes more and more apparent that, like, the gameplay is kind of chaotic. I don't know how to explain it, but it's just, like, even when the missions are easy early on, there's times where it's, like, you just kind of pass accidentally, or, you know, like, as you get later in the game, it's, like, you could fuck up way far into a mission, and it sucks. And, like, sometimes it could not be, like, totally your fault. Like, and, you know, there's no checkpointing on GTA 3. It's just, you can restart the mission if you die, which, you know, I don't think you could do in the original game. But, you know, there's not... If a mission's multi, like... things like there's no checkpoints along the way. It's like you're gonna have to do the whole bullshit all over again.
So that was something that like I was like, this doesn't seem as hard as it was originally, and I think it is because originally if you died like during a mission or you failed a mission,
you were outside the hospital and
if you die here still you end up outside the hospital and they take all your weapons away.
Yeah.
And that like, but here, if you fail a mission, like you can just restart it with all your shit. So like, I have a good stockpile of weapons now. I did die once and had to like spend $100,000 to get it all back. But, for the most part, like when I die, it's during a mission. So I'm not losing all my shit.
Yeah. I save after every mission. If I die outside of a mission now, I'm going to be loading up. I fucking earned all that shit. Fuck that, you know? But, like, the missions become longer and longer. They kind of expose the flaws in the gameplay, and there is no checkpointing, so even though you can restart a mission, sometimes that's not enough, in my opinion. So I have 5 missions left in the game, but once you get onto, like, the last island... they're like mostly really, really long and annoying. And I did this one like 3 or 4 times now. And I'm just like, I don't want to move on to Vice City. Cause like, I know if I just keep trying the mission, I'll pass it. And then that I'll have 4 left. You know what I mean? But it's just like, it's so dated this stuff. It's just like, it's hard when you have like all these new games that are really good right now to like stick with it. You know, I for the most part, I have. Like, again, I'm near the end of this game, and you know, despite any flaws or anything, it's like the core of the GTA experience is in there, and you can still have a lot of fun in the game. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mostly in agreement there. Like, it is fun. Like, you see the groundwork that where they ended up with 5, but this is straight up, it's a video ass video game.
Yeah. Like, I like that aspect. I just, the things, I want them to make this type of video game ass game nowadays, but with, like, you know, the modern things, like modern everything,
as opposed
to here. Like, it's just,
yeah, like, I think they made the aiming a little better. Like, it's still not great, but it's like, it's light years better than it was. But there's like just some like things that are just like super annoying. Like, the car can only take like 3 or 4 hits and then it's on fire.
I watched IGN's review, which, one, I thought it was cool of them to wait to review it until they had actually played through the games. Like, it came out like yesterday. And I thought, actually, IGN did a pretty good job on their review of it. That's one thing that they mentioned. It's like, I was like, okay, I'm not insane. Because, like, these cars just fucking blow up way too easy. And they, like, said they think they blow up easier than they used to. Like, they're more fragile than they used to be.
And that could be. I'd have to pull out 3 and, like, run into a couple things with it on the PS2. But, like, yeah, it's rough. Like,
if people start shooting at your car, it could get blown up real quick. I mean, that helps you on the flip side too when you're trying to shoot a car to blow it up. But the other thing they mentioned, though, which I found interesting, is, like, you know, I've been complaining about how there's no checkpoints in 3. Like, they added checkpoints in the San Andreas into the missions. So it's like, why did you do that for 1 out of the 3 games? Like, I don't understand.
Right, and I think that I've actually never finished 3 or Vice City. I've gotten to the end in both, and that might be why, because I think those missions they just get super frustrating.
You'll see. You're coming up on them.
Yeah, I just unlocked the final island. I drove Ray over there and dropped him off at the airport, so I know that, like, the missions that are coming up.
Have you done Grand Theft Aero yet?
No, I think that's the next mission I have for the, what's his name, Don or whatever. It's the,
you have to, like, go
Donald Love.
You have to go grab a specific car, drive over to the third island, to the airport, kill a bunch of guys inside of a hangar. Then there's supposed to be a package for you in an airplane. When you get in the airplane, it'll say, oh, the package is not here. You have to go back to the second island, and there's a construction site where the package is at. And then you have to, like, so drive back to the second island after doing all this. Then infiltrate this construction site where there's guys everywhere and it's very easy to die. And if you die at that point at the construction site, you're starting all over. And I had to do that one too many times, probably almost 10 times. And, like, I just got to the point where when I would get to this construction site, I was so cautious about it, like, that I took like 20 fucking minutes. Like, I would just come from far away from the construction site and sniper rifle guys, like, so that I could just, all right, man, this area looks pretty clear. Like, finally got through it, and I was just like, this is just...
Yeah, I did notice that in some area, like, there's one where you have to, like, rescue a guy from the cartel, and he's, like, in one of the garages.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you have to get a certain car to get into there. So, like, when you do, but then, like, I drove all the way to one side, I'd run over the guys over there and then got out to start shooting them. And I was able to actually pull out my sniper rifle because they weren't coming forward. Like, there was, like, they would only stay in their area, so they weren't chasing you. So it's like the AI is pretty dumb, and you can cheese it in a way, but you have to know that you have to know where they are.
I got so lucky on that one, my second try or something. Like, I just somehow like drove my car up to the garage that had the dude in it. I was like, "Let's get the fuck out of here!" Like it was just like I got so unbelievably lucky and passed that one. But yeah, after the Grand Theft Auto, trust me, the Grand Theft Auto will stick in your head because it's a fucking bitch. And it's like after that, like, you know, I've had like one after that was pretty easy, I thought, and pretty fun. But most of them, like, it's getting to the point where it's like, now go grab a boat, now fucking park the boat here in the water and wait for this plane to fly over, shoot the plane down, collect all the packages that the plane drops while there's fucking police helicopters shooting at you. And, like, the game, like, the controls and the gameplay kind of, like, can't hold up under that level of, like, intensity, I guess. Like, I don't know. It just becomes... The chaos starts to become like, God fucking damn it. Like, one time I shot the plane down and the fucking one of the packages landed on a ledge that I couldn't get up to. I'm like,
yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me after all this? Like, come on, man. Like,
and you can't climb and you can't swim.
it starts to poke holes in this awesome, you know, especially at the time, this was like a landmark game and it was just such a. It was like mind blowing what this game was doing, but it's like the mission structure starts to really poke holes in it. Like by the end, I think this becomes frustrating.
I have an important announcement.
Yeah.
Important announcement. New England Patriots are now 7-4. I just thought I'd point that out.
All right.
Go Patriots.
This is the update we were waiting for.
I know this is the point of this podcast was so that I could announce this at some point and it happened.
I'm very happy for you, Tony.
25-0, baby.
How's Tampa Bay doing?
They're.
I think they've lost two games in a row.
Yeah, I think they're 6-3, 7-3.
Yeah.
All right. You guys play any more Forza? Any yes. more to say on that?
I've played a lot more. I had just started when we talked last week. Oh my god, it's so good. It's so good. I love, and this only being my second Forza game, I love unlocking the new area, the new I can't remember what they're called. The
new festival areas.
Yeah. It's so much fun. Those missions are so much fun. They're so much better than like the average run-of-the-mill like just racing around missions, which are great. I enjoy those. But like
expedition things where it'll be like go to this volcano or
right.
Yeah. The game is it's nothing like the thing about it is like nothing I can really say about the game is like new at this point because it's been doing this forever.
Yeah.
But my god, man. That's like one of the best looking games I've ever played. It's so polished all around. Like
I started playing it and I was playing because it was during the podcast when I started playing it. And I had the sound off when I was choosing my character's voice. And so I, you know, designed my character after me. He looked exactly like me. Perfect likeness. And I picked a woman's voice.
So just like you.
Exactly. Perfectly like me. Perfectly like me.
You can't adjust that, right?
Like, I can't, but I've left it. I like it. I like the voice.
It's amusing.
So I will say that once Halo came in, it's actually smaller than people were saying. So I think people were saying it was going to make 50 gigs, and it came in at 25 so far.
Yeah.
I was like, I had room on my hard drive, so I downloaded it, and I actually started playing it today. I'm still getting the hang of it, but it's a very, very, very pretty looking game. And it reminds me of Burnout, which, again, not necessarily in like, you know, you crash into people and like you just crash into people, but in a sense that like, they give you points for Burnout and they give you points for like near collisions and off road and drifting, and sometimes I'm just like driving around. I feel like I'm screwing up, but it's like your meter's going. I'm like, yes, give me those points.
It's constantly feeding that like dopamine shit in your brain. Like it's like there's always a meter popping. Like I'll literally set a point I want to go onto a map on the map, and instead of following like the line on the road to get there, I just drive through the countryside like straight towards where I'm going. And but you're still getting stuff for that too. They're like discovered new area, did this, did that. I'm like it's constantly giving you that like reward thing in your brain. Like I'm getting something, and you are like. I feel like every 10 minutes of that game, you're getting a new car or, you know, like something or like a wheel spin with some money. And the game is really, really good at that aspect, I think.
I love that it also like it gives you like a little bit of a competitive like nudge too, because it's always popping up a leaderboard. It's like, oh, yeah. you just smashed your 10th bonus board or something. Hey, Jeff has smashed 12.
Yes, I was also saying, because the first thing they give me is like, you discovered roads. So-and-so has discovered two more roads than you. I'm like, wait, why did you tell me that? But I kind of want to get their number.
Exactly. And so then you like, I can drive two more roads.
And then somebody else comes up. I'm like, oh, no, okay. I gotta surpass them now, too.
As for the driving itself, I think you'll get used to it, Earl. I think it's a really interesting racing game that there's like almost no gimmick to the driving. It actually leans more towards the sim side, but it does it in a way that to me feels really good. Like I don't know, like hey, there's no boost, right. There's nothing. It's just like you got to slow down on turns. It's kind of like you got to like try to cut ahead of people. And it's weird. I'm like, this is a much slower, more technical like type of racing experience. And I'm like, then I realize most of the time I'm driving pickup trucks and shit. Like I fucking drove a Lamborghini. And I'm like, I'm going like 8,000 miles an hour. This does feel like burnout now. So it has even some flexibility there in terms of like, depending on what you're racing, like it could feel pretty different too.
All the cars feel straightforward, great.
You know.
Yes, and I don't know if this was intentional or not, but the beginning of the game gave me very, very Fast 7 vibes with the new
dropping out of the plane. Yeah.
Yes, it's even very similar to like Snowy Mountain ties and stuff like that.
But they've definitely drawn inspiration from that. In fact, I think it was Forza Horizon 2. There was even a tie-in.
Yes, I know there was one right, that had tie-in, and that was because I got that, and then it was like this or something. But yeah, I remember getting that because it had like the charger or whatever.
Yep.
But yeah, it is. I was just like, this is so very influenced by. It has to be because like they are dropping out. They're doing the parachute thing. You got the person like, telling you. But yes, it was a really fun way to kind of get you into the game right early on.
They always start with a big thing like that, like, and you'll get a few throughout the game for sure that are like cool like that.
Yeah, and then, I think the last mission I just did was. Sorry, sounds like my voice is cracking. The mission I did was I had to go into a sandstorm to take a picture, and I'm like, okay, this is pretty. This is a really nice way to introduce your photo mode without just being like, we have a photo mode. It's like, we're going to have you do something really fun with something different with it. And like, yeah, I was like, oh, because I think they were like, take it at like 70, 100 miles per hour. And I'm like trying to do that. And it's like, oh no, just take a picture. I'm like, oh, okay. And I don't know what this objective was for, but sure, I'll take a picture.
One thing I will say is the math is like, there's too many dots on the map. And like, I wish I could filter, like you could kind of, I wish you could just be like, dude, just show me what the races are. Yeah, you kind of can, but just show me the races.
I don't need to
see every speed trap or.
Yeah, I think you can filter out like and just do like events.
I've tried and it still is too much. Like I don't know.
There's a ton, like, but
dude, that map is insane with the amount of shit on it.
Yeah. I mean, you guys talked about the expeditions. Earl just talked about the photo mode. I like how they've like expanded on a bunch of. It's like photo mode's been in all of them since the beginning, but now there's like bonus objectives. So it's before it was just like take pictures of cars, and it filled up a meter. Now it's like take pictures of cars like in certain locales or you still get the points for just taking pictures of cars, but then there's like these bonus points that will give you extra XP or extra money. The expeditions have like mini quests in them, and like they've just added on to everything they were already doing and blown it out more and given you more to do, more meters to fill.
Yeah, the game is crazy. Such a complete package. And of course, like, you could get more, like, what you could probably already buy, like, extra cars and shit, right? But, you know, they usually do, what, 2 add-ons?
Yeah, there'll be 2 full expansions.
And those are, like, usually pretty fucking cool. Like, at least they have been for 3 and 4, so it's, like, I don't know. It's so weird, because, like, I know what to expect from Forza Horizon at this point and its greatness. But then every time it comes around, I'm still surprised by just how good this series has become. Like, it's really, it's like the premier racing game. It really is.
And I mean, just kind of on that note, just, I think it came out a little before we, recording, that Microsoft announced that in its first week, it had 10 million unique players. Which, again, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean it's 10 million people who bought the game. Usually it's like people, you know, like people share Xboxes and like your kids might have an account or whatever. But, I mean, it is the best start for the franchise. And I think it's a combination of Game Pass and it being a kind of quiet year that it seems like it's finally getting the recognition, because it's been a great game for a long time. And yeah, it's reviewed really well. It's just that nobody's ever played it.
It's been building up. It's like building, you know, racing fans have known probably since like 2, at least since 2, it caught my attention. But I feel like the audience has been building for it, I think.
Yeah, I feel like it has a better legacy than it's the main franchise. But,
they should just drop Motorsport. There's probably people that still like really dig it.
Yeah,
but...
I mean, Motorsport is cool. It is just a different type of racing. It's a different type of
car
porn. I like Motorsport, but it is complete. Like, it is not this game. And also, Sean and I were in on the original Forza Horizon back when it debuted on the 360. That game was awesome too.
Yeah.
And like it, they just keep building on it. I still think that like this one might surpass it, but like for a while, 3 was
3 is
the one.
This is the one for me, but this is probably it. Like, I don't know. So far, this is really, really fucking good.
Yeah. But yeah, I think since 3, it has been the best racing game on the market.
I'd say that, and it's one that I think it's, you know, just word of mouth and stuff. Like, I'll tell my friends, like, you gotta check this out. And now it's easier than ever for them to check it out, because, you know, a lot of my friends, even casual people, like, get Game Pass. They get the value out of it. So
And like this, Earl, you're not like big into like racing games, like outside, unless it's a kart racer. Tony, I don't think you've ever driven a racing game, right?
Like, no, I mean, like Mario Kart, and this is pretty much it. So
all you need, really. I mean, out of the modern franchises, for me, it's kind of... I mean, I love racing games, but those are the two.
Game Pass has been great, though, for like, getting... Like, you know, I don't think it was something that Tony would ever have spent money on.
No, if it previously wasn't for Game Pass, I would not have played this in any way.
And now you know it's great. You might still not buy it, but
sure. I was super tempted by like the bundle, like the $45 bundle that you play it early and unlock all the stuff. I was considering it. I didn't do it, but I thought about it.
So that's one that I probably will eventually get the $45 add-on or whatever, because you'll have to pay for the expansions. But I can't justify it now. But yeah, it's great. Earl, you play anything else this week?
There's a Big Brain Academy demo that I played a bit before this. Big Brain Academy, I think we mentioned when it was announced, is kind of like the sibling franchise to Brain Training, it's the more like mini game oriented version of this. And these like the mini games, they have like 3 mini games on the demo. It's stuff like you know, like and this is gonna sound super basic, but it's stuff like you know, like count which number, like broke balloons for which numbers the higher, the lowest to highest, stuff like that. And again, that sounds super simple, and it, as it gets faster and you're trying to, they start introducing negative numbers and different size balloons, it's like, you know, it's a test of your reflexes. And it's really dumb but clever at the same time at how much they get out of the gimmick. There's one where you have to like match different shapes, and at first it's like a fork, it's an apple, simple stuff, and then they will start to overlap. So it's like trying to like, okay, what is this shape if I remove like this element of it and stuff like that. Again, I don't know if I'll pick it up, but I think it's a fun little game for the audience they're going for with these things, which tends to be elderly people who want to, you know, feel like they're still sharp and they still got it. So maybe Tony. I went back to Splatoon 2. I was playing Salmon Run yesterday with a friend, and I just forget like how good that game is. But I also really, really hate how long it takes to start up the game. Well, how long it takes to start up the game in general, but how long it takes to start up the game if you've not played it in a while. Because you have to, apparently it's been almost a year. So that's when I played with the Splat Fest. So they had to give me the results of the Splat Fest. Then they had to give me like what maps are live. And there's 3 different pages. Then they give you each map gets its own little thing. And then they had to tell me there was an update or like an update or two in the time since I asked Faded. I'm like, okay, this is like 5 minutes to start this game with them talking about updates. But once I got in, it's just super fun. I mean, much like in a very different way, but much like Halo, there's nothing on the market that quite feels like it. And I forget how much I actually enjoy what the game offers in terms of being just a very unique type of shooter. And I can't wait for part 3.
Nice.
I keep forgetting. I love how that gets like all these fucking sequels real quick, but can't get a goddamn F-Zero or anything going. Come on.
I would point out that I think Splatoon 2 sold more than the F-Zero franchise. So I mean, that might be part of the reason. And I mean, it's only, what, 3 games in 7 years? 8 years?
I don't know. It just feels... How about this? How come we get 2 Splatoons on the Switch, but where's my Mario Kart? What the fuck, man? Like, why is it that hard to make it? Like, they better be making, like, some big open-world Mario Kart to take it so fucking long with it.
Mario Kart? I just got an update this week.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's right. I forget.
So I actually do like that update, and I don't know if that was covered in news, but I mean... Really, the gist of it is they finally added a way for 2 people to play on the same system, which I think was a big part of like a big limiting factor. Because if you want to play multiplayer, part you still need $100, but it's nice that like, I was surprised it got updates. I honestly, yeah, but expensive. I mean, look at Abo, or if you remember what Abo is.
I had almost forgotten, but
so that's Nintendo, so you're not alone.
I think we should all forget Labo.
I think it had. I think it had some practice. I think the idea of like kind of these easy to do science projects for kids is novel, but it's not like $100 novel for parents.
Yes, like it's hard to convince a parent that they should spend $100 on cardboard.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just get your kids some Lincoln Logs. Fucking call it a day.
Or Legos, they will last longer.
Yeah.
Tony, did you play anything else this week? I know it's been a busy week for you.
No, I don't think so. It's just Forza.
All right. I guess we've kind of hit some. We hit the Halo news. We hit a the Mario backwards Kart compatibility news. We hit the Mario Kart news.
The one thing I will say before we get to that other big news.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I do want to talk about this, is that Warner Brothers finally announced that Multiverses game today.
Yeah.
That very, very, very secretive game that we all did not know about for the past month. I mean, So far, it kind of looks like it's budget, but I will grant them that it's free to play, so, and I think they do have an interesting hook with it, in terms of it, like, part of it, it seems like, not necessarily because you can play 4v4, is like it has a co-op aspect to it, where like characters have certain types of moves that work in conjunction with teammates. So the example they used is like Wonder Woman's lasso. You can pull a teammate back who's fallen off the edge, or Steven Universe can put up a shield that will protect somebody from taking damage real quick. And I'm like, okay, it's something different. It's something unique. They're bringing something to the table aside from more Smash Brothers with a new set of characters.
You talking about the WB game or whatever?
Yeah, Multiverses.
You guys really think that's going to be something? Like,
I mean, I don't think it's going to be anything much. I mean, it's going to be like the Nick game, which came and went.
We had a friend who was like, this is going to be this like big. I'm like, I don't know, dude. Yeah, it obviously has like all these big name things in it. But
right, like,
it,
I mean,
it's hard to come at the king, you know? Like,
well, yes, and I said this in the chat several times. It's a free-to-play game. It has a bunch of kid-friendly IPs. I mean, it has DC characters.
They'll probably do okay, but...
But my thing is, it's so weird that like, it has all of this going for it, and it's like, we're not on the Switch and we're not on mobile, which I feel like would have been the two biggest audiences for it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, you can't get this running on this... I don't know. You get everything running on the Switch, basically, if you really want to.
Like, I mean, yeah, they're making a PS4 and Xbox One version, so you might as well make... Again, like, to me, it's like, the Switch is a bigger mission, but I'm just surprised, like, there's no mobile right now. Because, again, it's a free-to-play fighter that has a bunch of famous IPs.
You're not hitting the biggest market by skipping out on those two platforms.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Well, that's a very weird choice for that.
But they do have an IP mine. Like, it is. It is a gold mine. Yeah. So.
They've been doing that with their movies, right? Like,
they've been doing it with their movies. They did it with their games. They did Lego Dimension. WB has really, 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 really tried to get this thing going.
Like, we have all the shit. We don't know what to do with it. But what if we just, like, show you it in movies and go, remember that?
Yeah. They tried that three different times now.
Yeah.
Was Ready Player One theirs too?
Yep. Ready Player One, Space Jam: A New Legacy, and I would say the Lego. I would say most of the Lego movies, but I think in particular Lego Batman, because Lego Batman ends, spoilers, with like Gandalf shows up and Harry Potter. There's a bunch of like random as like Warner Brother properties that just show up for the final battle.
Right. The Lego Movie 1 and 2 both had like, you know, Batman was in it, Gandalf was in it.
Yeah.
Like.
The other thing I was going to say, which I mean, I get it's so weird to see the budget versus the, but like, they got some of the people back to voice the roles. I was surprised that they got Macy Williams to do Arya Stark for this game.
Interesting.
I mean, granted, the flip side is I don't know what she's doing her career outside of this. Because she did like that New Mutants movie, and that's kind of like a lot of the Game of Thrones folks have not had the best suck outside of the
TV for you. I don't know.
I mean, she's also very young, so she's only 24. She was in a. She was actually. I saw this. She was in a horror movie called The Owners that was not good.
Like, they've all been in stuff. It's just
I don't even heard of that.
But yeah, like, I mean, because what, I mean, most of them have become superheroes. She's in New Mutants. Sansa was in Dark Phoenix, and I mean, she is Dark Phoenix. You know, Khal Drogo's Aquaman. The Stark boys are in Eternals. So yeah, they all got that superhero money, and I guess it makes sense because it's about the same level of acting. But. Yeah. So yeah, they got her, I was going to say Kevin Williams for some reason. That's the Scream dude, right?
Williamson? Kevin Williamson?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kevin Conroy as Batman. Granted, he's, I mean, he just seems to just show up, and I think at this point he just records stuff and sends it to people. They got George Newbern back as Superman. He was Superman on Superman the animated series, not Justice League, I believe. Yeah, so they got a lot of Tara Strong as Harley Quinn. So yeah, I am surprised by who they got for this. So they're putting money into it, and I know like some people were saying like part of like one of the reasons that Nick didn't do so well is because like all of these famous characters and nobody has their voice, nobody's speaking. So like this is one aspect they're working on, which seems to, and that was a big part of today's reveal. It's like they had a lot of like, so and so is Arya Stark, and so is Batman. So it's they're also going to do the show character reveal, like Smash Brothers. Now yep. We can talk about the other thing.
yeah, Activision.
What?
Back in the news.
For good things this week, I hope.
Yeah, good things. No, Bobby Kotick. I guess it was revealed that he knew a lot of what was previously going on.
No. Him knowing would be bad. The fact that he's participated in some of it.
Yes, that was the thing. Yes. Yeah, he also has allegations against him. He was covering up things internally. It's really weird. Like he evidently made that, and she's a bad person anyway, but the one that was like the chief operating officer who released like a big company wide letter when the investigation started, he evidently dictated that to her. Yeah.
Or he wrote it, had it sent out on her behalf or something like that.
Yeah. Like there's a bunch of shit, and now it's like it's boiled over to shareholders have, written an open letter to the board asking for his immediate resignation and two other people on the board to retire by the end of the year. Jim Ryan of PlayStation has come out. Phil Spencer of Xbox has come out, and
the walls are closing in, Bobby.
Yeah. And then there's, I think they also made an announcement that they have a zero tolerance policy, and except it's like, for him.
It doesn't apply to him. No, it's not a zero. What was the statement? Is that they have no evidence against him or something like that? I'm like, but he admitted to it in court.
Which would be evidence? What?
And you have no evidence except for his own words.
I mean,
and you had to still. I think they said it was like three of his cases.
If it's legal record of it, that's evidence. That's like the ultimate definition of evidence.
Activision's a mess right now. I don't know how Bobby Kotick gets to continue to run that company.
I've had it out for this fuck since the 2000s, so I'd be happy to see him go. I just don't like his fucking ginger face. Fuck him.
I think I would say the one thing, and I think the stockholders were actually pretty good with this, is that they didn't ask just for him. It was him and like the 2 and 3 or something like that as well. Because, like, if you take him out, the next person behind him is going to replace him or whatever, temporarily. And you don't change the culture if the same people who...
Yeah.
You know what? Like, is anyone watch Succession here, or am I the only one?
You might be the only one. But a lot of people have compared it to that.
The storyline is, like, very similar. It's, like, kind of fucking crazy. You know, just like the big storyline in Succession is, you know, they're like this huge, they're basically
a family business, right?
They're like the Murdochs, they're basically Fox News. They have all these divisions, and one division is cruise lines, and like, you know, there's been sexual harassment and stuff with the cruise lines going back fucking many years, and it's like taking down the people at the top now because how much they know. and all that.
Yeah. I mean, I hope that you know, the pressure keeps up on them and something happens here, but maybe the big thing is, you know, stock price is dropping. They've lost a good percentage of stock over the last couple of days. So
that'll motivate the shareholders for sure.
Yeah.
Motivate everybody, really. It's the whole game, right?
But it's ugly. I mean, I don't know really what else to say about it, but
fuck him. I hope he goes.
I don't know
what that'll fix, but
no, and like the sad thing is, like even if he does go, he's gonna go with like it's like a diamond encrusted parachute.
Yeah, of course he'll be fine, but
and he's already like he's a billionaire, so he's not hurting. But to clean up that company, I think you need to start cleaning out from the top. And I guess the other piece of that was that when shortly after all this started, they had to announce two new heads of Blizzard. One who I believe she's stepping down from the company at the end of the year. But she had asked for equal pay with her co-lead as the head of Blizzard. She was denied multiple times for that. Like, the whole culture there is pretty fucked.
Yeah, especially because part of it was everybody puts out the statements that we're for equality and it's like, yeah, so you say that and you're not literally not paying your colleagues the same amount.
Yeah.
And she was just, it was like she put out an email to the organization basically saying, like, I can't change shit, so I don't think I want to stick around. Which is the gist of it, I guess.
Which understandable, but it's also like, and I sure don't begrudge her for leaving, but it's like it just allows that frat boy culture to continue on.
Yes. Okay. A lot of this is problematic. But I was reading that and I'm just like, it's so weird that like nobody better than I, and I assume this is not something that's unique to Activision or even gaming, but like the fact, like, okay, yes, we've all went to work events with alcohol and stuff like that. I do think that's something that companies need to work on, trying to find events that, especially people who don't drink. But like they were talking about like having like half naked ladies walking around, and bartenders encouraging the women to drink so that they could talk to the guys. And I'm just like, what type of cesspool of a party event were they hosting? But then
what kind of work event is this?
Yes, but then I kind of think about it, and I'm like, you know, when you think about it, that was kind of gaming culture, like in terms of like that is what people put out for E3 too.
Yeah,
put out the booth babes in front to draw and lure people in. It's like, if this is what they think attracts the general consumer, I'm not surprised that this is what they would do in their private parties as well.
Yeah, and it's finally starting to catch up with them, because people are starting to go, that wasn't good. Like, the Girls Gone Wild era was bad. It was bad at the time, but like in hindsight, it's even worse. And like, you guys continuing on with that isn't a good look. So, all right. Well, that's it. Next week we will have our game show to enter into. Yeah, you got to come up with 10 questions.
Okay,
good at this. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna go through my past game shows and then compile questions to see if I think I've actually done this once before. Also, I think those are on an old hard drive.
I was going to ask, like, do we have any kind of official rules it's not necessary, like, are they multiple choice? Is it general trivia? is it like, you know, like, can we come up with different types of questions, or are we all going to ask the same type of question? Like, I assume we kind of want questions people can actually answer.
Yeah, but I would try to keep it to general trivia. And like, sure, we could have some obscure stuff, but like making it insanely like unanswerable isn't going to be fun for anybody playing. So
he can't just come here with a bunch of questions about historic Sims and stuff like that.
Yeah, I would try to cater it to who we're asking questions for. So, questions like if I'm putting the questions out, questions that you, Jeff, and Tony can answer, or you know, general video game knowledge questions, maybe. Specific, like maybe I might have like a few that are like targeted at individuals, but
okay. I'm also going to, there's a video game trivia show on Twitch that I watch every so often, and I want to steal one of their ideas because I really enjoy it.
Yeah,
is that, and I can tell you folks what it is because there's a ton of games. They read the back of video game boxes and you have to guess what the game is, but they remove words that, like, you know, they remove the title.
Identify it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that. Jeff used to do one with a Metacritic.
Yeah, I would just read you a quote from Metacritic and you had to guess what game I was talking about. I might do one of those.
Oh, that would be fun too.
Yeah. And I tried to pick the quote, a quote that illustrated as many like things that would like point out what the game is a little bit. You know what I mean?
Okay, I thought you did it because it's like how it's kind of like how we made fun of like social media impressions for movies and stuff. After a while, they all kind of read the same.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh man, I was surprised. My mind was blowing. If you're a fan of this, you're going to love it.
I'd be like trying to pick out what, like, you know, a comment, like, you know, say this GTA collection that just came out. Oh, the fucking character models are fucked. You know, I would like look for a quote that would say kind of the things that are like the narrative about it, you know,
yeah.
Try to see if
people, everybody looks waxy or,
yeah,
that could be fun. We'll have that for next week. Tony, are you getting Battlefield?
Don't do it, Tony. Too many Forza to play.
Has Tony abandoned us? Yeah, I've not heard from him in like half an hour.
No, I'm here. No, I'm getting Battlefield. I got it pre-ordered.
All right, so we may have some Battlefield talk. At the very least, I was thinking about getting it, so I'm not sure if I will, but I do have the 10-hour... That
you
I can
guys
like.
Just,
I also have all of next week off, so.
Da-di-da.
Time goes quick, Tony, and just, I don't know. I can't keep up with all I have. I'm.
Well, Jeff, to your point, that's where I'm like, I don't need another shooter.
I don't want any. Yeah, I don't want any more anything.
Like,
I'm full.
Back of the box quote, the last video ever need. Halo Infinite.
Give me the campaign for that. I mean, by the time Elden Ring comes out, I'll be ready to go with for new shit, but actually probably way before that. But for right now, next month or so, I feel
right
pretty
now
satisfied. Yeah.
Yeah, I still got Vice City, San Andreas.
Fucking backward compatible. I got that. Time Splitters.
Oh, you got Time Splitters, yeah.
Diablo still playing Animal Crossing. I've barely touched Mario Party, although that's more of just like when people are over type game.
Yeah, I am super excited and super scared because I think the weekend after Thanksgiving, that Saturday, we're going to try to do our drunk Mario Party. And I looked at the rules and I'm like, this is not something that makes sense, but I am willing to try it to see if 20-year-old me was as stupid as 36-year-old me. It's going to fail.
All right. Well, we may have a Battlefield and definitely the game show next week.
I assume I know the answer to this, but is anybody getting Pokemon?
No.
I still haven't played Sword, or what was the one from last year, Sword and Shield?
Yeah.
I bought Sword, and I still have not put it in my Switch. I am not, I can't, I cannot buy another Pokemon and not play it.
It's like,
my kids will be playing it, not me, but they will be playing it.
Isn't it like, I don't even know what's coming out, but I know it's not like, there's that big like open world one coming.
One comes out next January. So
I'll probably get that.
It's a really weird strategy. And
like that's only like 2 months away.
Yeah. It's like January 24th or something like that. It's kind of insane that, because it's weird because I read some of the reviews and people are like, this is going to hold you over until Pokemon Legends come out. I'm like, part of me is like, I don't want you to compare it to a game that's not out yet. But I'm also just like, you kind of you bought this on yourself because you're marketing two games in the same franchise at the same time. And one's a remake and one, I mean, I guess that's the thing. One's a remake, but it's like, yeah, you get this traditional game and then you get this other one that's going to break up the formula. Maybe, possibly, who knows? I still don't know how that game plays, so.
I don't know, but like, I'm kind of Pokemon'd out to begin with, but that one has me intrigued. I'm like, oh, that looks different, at least what I've seen in the trailer. So that one I'll probably get, but no, I'm not going to get this.
I think Earl, if you're getting it, it's just you and Tony's kids.
Oh, I'm not getting it. And nothing against it, but yeah, I kind of am at the point where, like, I mean, I might get it eventually down the road, but yeah, like, I'm not a huge Pokemon person. I can use games. I got Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee because I thought that was a weird mixture of Go, but I don't think I do the remakes because I hardly beat the game the first time.
Yeah, I beat Sword. I'm like, every one of them I've played, though, I don't know. There's not a whole lot to those games.
I think they're a ton of fun. And then it's like, because I guess the way I play, I just burn out of it after half an like 30 hours. Because it's like, I go, I try to catch just as much Pokemon. I level them up. And once they kind of evolve, their final form, I bench them and start a new Pokemon to evolve. And I'm like, that burns you out really quickly, so I usually burn around the fifth or sixth gym. So I've gone back and beat three of them, and that's basically been the gist of my entire Pokemon existence.
That very much mimics how I handled Pokemon.
I'll tell you this, guys, though. If Snap is on sale, I thought Snap was very good.
That's a completely different type of game, though.
Yeah.
It's not even really a Pokemon game. You're just kind of looking at stuff.
And I mean, Pokemon, the brand itself is fine. Like, Pokemon, it's like, I think, and again, it's not even the core RPGs. I will go the next generation, whenever that comes out. Yeah, I'll be interested, like, earning a new Pokemon and stuff like that. It's just, like, I'm not eager to, like, replay a Pokemon game. So the remakes usually really do very little for me.
Understandable.
I don't know. The first Pokemon game I played was Pokemon X, so they're remaking games I never played before.
And that's fair, and especially for your kids, because like I assume this is 2007 and it's Odin. I think part of it is like Pokemon's a weird franchise because you think of them constantly coming out, but then it's like there's only been 7 actual games in the franchise so far. And this is like, I think this is generation 4? Because, this is Diamond and Pearl, and then Black and White is next. And then XY, and then Sun and... Wait, how many generations are there? Maybe there's 8 generations.
There's what? Red and Blue.
Red and Blue, Gold and Silver, Ruby, Sapphire. Then I think it's Diamond and
Pearl. Diamond and Pearl.
Then it's Black and White.
Yeah. There were two of them, right?
X and Y. Yeah, there was Pokemon Black and White too, but that's the same gen. It's like Platinum and the other one.
Got it.
And then there's Sun and Moon, and then there's Sword and Shield. So yeah, there's 8 generations, and this is remaking the 4th generation of them. So, and again, it's a 14-year-old game. There's an audience for it. There's people who've never played these games before, but I think for people like us, it's whatever.
Yep.
We'll have Tony's kids on next week to talk about Pokemon.
That's right.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.